Geeks are so hot.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Elegant Codecast. In this show, Tamara Suliman of Applied Scrum joins us to talk about distributed agile teams. So despite the fact that geographically distributed work teams are an obvious agile anti-pattern, many teams find themselves working with teammates half a world away. It's just reality of our world today. Are you a team member of a group that's trying to share its work across time zones and locations? If so, I hope that you'll find some nuggets in this show that'll help make your work more successful. Before we get to the show, though, I'd like to once again plug Boise Code Camp and Tech Fest, free event for learning more about Agile, other ideas, and hardcore technical sessions. This event takes place on Saturday, March 28th in Boise, Idaho at Boise State University, and no matter where you are, this will be a great event worth attending, even getting on a plane for, which I know many people will be doing. You can learn more at boisecodecamp.org. Now, Microsoft Patterns and Practices has put out some thoughts on the subject of distributed Agile. Starting off, there's the Tool for Agility's white paper by Kent Beck in partnership with Microsoft PMP, and then by Aide Miller, the paper on distributed agile development at Microsoft Patterns and Practices, in which Aide describes what has worked and what has not worked for the PMP team itself, PMP team being a very geographically distributed group. Also, for teams that are working specifically within .NET and even more specifically with Microsoft Visual Studio Teams system, in the show, you'll hear me reference a tool that I worked with effectively with a distributed team, and I'll tell you that that tool was the Conchango Electronic Scrum Board produced by Conchango for use with their Scrum for Team System process template for Visual Studio Team System. I found that to be a very effective tool when trying to facilitate a daily stand-up and making sure that people can see the artifacts that are moving around the Scrum board. I think you'll enjoy this discussion, so let's get to it. Okay, we're here with Tamara Suliman of Applied Scrum, and she is an independent Scrum trainer and coach. We're here to talk about distributed agile software development. Now, Tamara, I'd like to start by asking about some statistics that I found in a recent survey from version 1, wherein 57% of people responded that their teams were distributed, and 41% said that they were currently using or were soon to be using agile software development with outsourced projects. Is this a trend that you find to be true in your experience?
It is, and more often than not, with the clients that I see, they are becoming more and more distributed across more and more time zones. Another part of that version one survey that was interesting was the trend in that the number of organizations with distributed teams that are going to Agile or are using Agile is continuing to grow.
Given the fact that there is a lot of supporting data out there that says that co-located teams tend to be more successful. In fact, I've found one other study stating the number as high as 20% higher success rates for teams that are co-located versus geographically distributed. Given that that's the case, why are people working this way?
For the companies that I visit, the overwhelming reason is money, basically costs. They're looking to cut costs by working with teams in lower cost areas of the world. And for some organizations, they've actually been very, very successful with that. And I don't know if we want to go into the actual costs involved with using distributed teams. I tend to focus on, okay, you're distributed. How do we make this work? What can we do? So I tend to focus on the practical. Let's make it happen.
Okay. So given that there are a lot of organizations working this way, why is the subject different when talking about applying agile software development techniques in particular?
It really is all about what to adapt and where to adapt the agile principles and practices that you're using to reflect the fact that you are not co-located. As you mentioned earlier, the agile practices were developed with co-located teams in mind. Once you get those time zones in between you, that geographical distance in between you, some of the practices need to change. You need to adapt to the reality of your situation.
So what are some of the most common things that remote teams struggle with?
Collaboration and communication in particular. The Agile principle that states that the most effective communication is face-to-face is absolutely true. So if you're not face-to-face, what are you going to do? Another area of struggle is around artifacts and ownership. Where is your build going to be located, and how are you going to, if you've got multiple teams around the world, which many organizations do, how are you going to keep everything in sync in your configuration management system? How are you going to keep the knowledge flowing around these different teams as you discover more new items? How are you going to communicate? And then how do you collaborate effectively to be able to plan your sprints and releases and your products when you are separated by as many as 16 time zone differences?
And you're also the stage producer for the Agile 2009 conference, the stage producer for the distributed Agile stage, right?
Yeah.
So this subject is obviously compelling enough for you to get involved at that level. What sort of things might people expect if they're planning to attend the Agile conference and listen into some of these sessions?
And we're pretty excited about what we're starting to see. The submissions system for the Agile 2009 conference is still open. It will be open until March 3rd, so we're encouraging people to submit. Here's just a quick plug. To go to submit to the system, go to http://agile2009.agilealliance.org. We're happy to see them. We have received some very interesting submissions from folks who are talking about a variety of things. Some of the things they're talking about are some of the tips and techniques for working with at the team level, working with distributed teams. We have a great submission on working at the program level. How do you run an Agile program across different time zones and multiple teams? From the product owner point of view or the product manager point of view, how do you work with your teams at a distributed level to ensure that you're building the right product at the right time? Extremely interesting submissions, encouraging more.
One question I hear come up frequently is, what if this team, you know, on the West Coast works on this feature and the team on the right coast works on the other feature? So are there some particular patterns that you've found more effective than others?
Well, some of the patterns that I see that work well, and one of them is arranging your sprints across multiple teams, and this is whether you're co-located or geographically distributed, being able to have different teams work at different parts of the code so you don't step on each other in the code. Some of the patterns for distributed teams that are different for geographically co-located is that you need to be able to do things like schedule meetings in such a way to share the pain. Often I'll go into a company and the home office, and let's just say, for example, the home office is in Detroit, Michigan, in the United States, and they're working with a team out of Norway and another team out of India. And what they'll do is they don't even think about sharing the pain of time zones. And the pain of working across time zones is there. I mean, it just is. It is what it is. Instead of doing maybe a round robin where folks in Europe work early and folks in India work late, and one time and then the next time the folks in the United States work early and the folks in Norway work late and they work it to India time, I find that oftentimes the teams in the head offices aren't recognizing what that does to the morale of the people in the other teams. And that leads to another practice that works well, and that is to actually bring your team members together at key moments. So if you have project kickoffs, project release plans, if you have releases over multiple iterations, other key moments to bring the teams together, that helps create the one team so that they begin to know each other and they begin to develop the trust that is necessary for true collaboration. Other practices that work well is to have product owners, product managers, subject matter experts, and other crucial team members visit the teams and do it on a regular basis. It's a great way to share knowledge. Even a better way even to share knowledge is to have team members spend time in the other offices. So they may join a sprint the folks from a couple of folks from the India team, for example, may go join a sprint in the Norway office, and a couple of folks from the Norway team go join the team in the Detroit office, that kind of thing. That helps, again, build that trust. People get to know each other. They start to understand the shared meanings of the vocabulary. They understand the shared practices better. They get to know each other on a personal basis, and they share knowledge. So you get that knowledge sharing across teams on a global basis when you do those kinds of things. Other things that I look at is whether or not they're leveraging technology and how. This global separation, this geographic separation, means that you have to leverage technology to some extent. I will say that the conference call is the lowest form of technology you could possibly use. And it doesn't work very well. For teams to plan together, do your best to get some sort of a video link going on, and supplement that with other technology for communication and collaboration. There are many, many different types of technology, many, many different types of tools out there to help teams. Project wikis, shared sites, video and web conference tools, even things like instant messaging with Skype and other instant messaging sites are very, very useful. For example, I found myself in this situation just this last summer working with a large organization. We had a team in New York, so I was in New York with that team. We had a team in Virginia. We had a team in Mexico. And we had a team in Bangalore, India, all working together on the same product in the same sprint. And so we needed to do a joint sprint plan together. And what we ended up doing, and I will tell you, I'll give you the punchline first. It actually worked. We had a web video conference going on with the team in Virginia. And so they could see us and we could see them and we could talk across that video conference link. We also had the team in India. We couldn't hook up a web video conference with them. They just didn't have the bandwidth to do it. So we actually had a laptop with them and a laptop with us with the webcams built in, and we had a Skype link going. So we could actually see them through this Skype link, and they could see us in New York, but they could not see any of the other two teams. And we had a conference call with all four teams participating. So the team in Bangalore, unfortunately, were only able to participate through the conference call. Now, the team in Bangalore, because they are so many different times, so many time zones away, they actually participated only for the first few hours. We discussed the items that we needed to discuss together with them first, and then they rang off and went to bed, and it was something like 2 o'clock in the morning for them. It was very, very late for them. Well, the rest of us moved forward with the other items to work with the sprint planning, and it worked. We got it done, and we moved into the sprint, got through that sprint, and ended up having a very successful sprint. They supported the sprint planning, the collaboration through sprint planning, with other tools. They have a global communications infrastructure. They have a global CMS where every time the code was checked in and the build was done, they were integrating the build from all three teams or all four teams. Those kinds of things are very important. What's also important is to train everybody on all of the teams in the process and practices. I was at a team last week, and I asked the VP of development, so you have a team in Austria, and you have a team in Romania, as well as a team here in the United States, and you're training the team in the United States. When are you going to do the training for the teams in Austria and Romania? And he looked kind of blank. He went, oh, I didn't think about it. And it's not an easy thing to change to agile processes, for example, agile practices, without having some understanding of what is expected of you and what your colleagues are doing and how it all works together. We've found that we've gotten much, much more success when we've been able to go to and train and coach the teams in the remote sites, rather than just expecting them to follow along and figure it out as they go along.
I noticed a couple of interesting things about that story, one of which is that it seems to be fairly common that there's a failure to recognize the remote office as being important, or at the very least, sort of we tend to be centric upon ourselves when thinking about things like time zones, whether or not to give training. And do you find that it's a tough sell to get the training, the resources, and all of the things necessary to those remote teams?
Sometimes. I think it's just a human thing where we're so, as people, we tend to be so focused on what we're, you know, the reality that we're living, that we forget that there's another team over there that has a very different version of reality sometimes. Once that gets made apparent, however, and once they experience some of the pain that can happen when the teams are not in sync, then no, it's not a tough sell. It's we need to make this happen. What can we do?
And does the success of getting to that point typically come from an on-site visit where someone actually travels and touches the other location?
Absolutely. That's what I have found. Now, we've tried doing some remote training, and it is not nearly as effective. But that's my personal experience.
A question that I have about using some of these remote tools comes from an experience I had recently wherein I taught a class remotely, and there were three sets of students in three different locations geographically, and I was coached – this is my first online training event – and I was coached by the organizations not to go to one of those locations and teach from there because then I would forget the medium. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I haven't actually experienced that myself. Was it completely online? How did you do it?
It was my first completely online course, 2-day course. And instead of going to one of the client locations, standing up and doing a typical in-class lecture, I was advised to stay online myself, work from home, don't go. And because of that, I won't defer to the students in the classroom. I'll try and be more inclusive of everyone that's using the same medium. So I tell that story simply to then ask if you've had experiences like that, because even when we have things like Skype sharing in between two locations, is the fidelity of communication between those two planning rooms sufficient?
It is. Well, congratulations on doing the online training first. That sounds really interesting, and I understand the concept of why you would need to stay home and just keep it completely online. I have not done that in that our training is extremely interactive. Our coaching is extremely interactive. So some of the things that I have done to help keep the fidelity high at all of the sites is I will have someone who has already been through the training and coaching, who understands the processes and the practices that we're teaching, be in the room to facilitate. And I work with the other facilitator to make sure that the remote teams have the same level of experience as the teams that I am with in person. I do believe that being face-to-face and running these exercises and coaching the teams through their retrospectives and their sprint planning on a face-to-face works best for me, though I'd be very interested in finding out how well you can do that with a completely online environment.
So would people who might attend your stage at the Agile conference expect more stories like this one, where we just sort of learn from each other's experience?
I think you'll find a lot of that. There'll be a number of experience reports. There'll be a number of tutorials. There'll be a number of workshops. I'm really excited. We have one submission that is a hands-on workshop where you're asked to bring your laptop, if you can, and you'll actually get to try and work through a number of the different collaboration and communications tools and be able to evaluate for yourself what would work best for your team. And then the group as a whole come up, go through and start to evaluate the pros and cons of each and where they might work or where they may not work. That, to me, that kind of experience is invaluable and is a great thing for the conference.
Well, we've talked a little bit about sort of online video conferencing and conference calls, but what about other sorts of tools that teams have found effective? I know there is a burgeoning business in tools for agility, particularly things like Scrum and task tracking boards and things of that nature. What have you found effective there?
Well, there's digital whiteboards, for example, are used together with the video and web conferencing and can be effective. Some of the I live in the world of Scrum mostly in Agile project management, and so some of the web-based backlog management tools are actually very, very good. Had an experience again over the summer. Did a lot of work this summer, where we were working with distributed teams, and we had everybody bring in their laptop, log into the tool, and instead of what we normally would do is we would work out our sprint plan on the walls using stickies and Sharpies, and then transfer it into the tool and share with each of the remote sites. We actually had everybody working together. They paired up. We had the web conferencing going on. We had the video link going on, and they just logged into the tool and did it directly from there. And people could see in almost real time what the teams in other locations were entering and could comment on them and work from there. And it worked extremely well.
What tool was that in that instance?
That was the Rally tool.
Okay.
That was the Rally software tool for manage backlogs, releases, and sprints.
Okay. What are some common, I'll call them process smells, or maybe it's team smells, that you might find when walking into a fresh engagement where people are experiencing some pain?
So some of the things I typically see. Iteration planning may take 4 days, for example, or it doesn't get completed at all because it takes 4 days and they're just tired of it and they want to just get on with the work. And so they don't have a complete iteration plan and don't know each one team in one location doesn't truly know what a team in another location is doing. People trying to track progress via email, which just gets confusing and doesn't work very well at all. So they don't have a common burn down, for example. Team members in different locations not talking to each other. They don't pick up the phone. They don't use IM. They just try to communicate via email, and things slow down tremendously. I mean, it's already slow when you have these kinds of time zone differences, but when you're doing it just by email, it's very, very slow. And not, you know, when email exchanges are between two people generally, or you're getting on a list and you're getting bombarded with email and then you stop reading it altogether. And I also sometimes see where a team in one location is just working in isolation, including their build, and checking in their changes, and is not aware of any impacts they may be having on teams in the other locations. Those are some of the things that I see, and some of the most alarming things that I see is some of the teams that are in the most pain.
Okay, you've talked about configuration management. In that vein, do you recommend primarily that teams try and share a common branch and source control, or to all work on main?
Well, not to all work on main, because that can, you know, main includes your production. But I do recommend that they work pretty closely to sharing a branch in source control, or if they're not doing that, they're checking into that branch often, so that a team in Norway knows what the team in and can integrate with what the team in India is doing.
Okay, so pick one location that's going to run the continuous integration on the branch, and everybody works there.
Yes.
Okay.
That generally works the best. Yes.
And what about daily stand-ups? Because this is a very sort of face-to-face, tactile experience for most teams. How do we incorporate that across time zones?
And it really depends on how many time zones we're talking about. If we're talking about a few time zones, two, three, and differences, you know, a few hours of difference, then having folks get together in one daily scrum makes sense. Now, I want to put a caveat that with the best way to divide your teams up across geographical locations is to have a fully cross-functional team in each location. It does not work nearly as well if you have, for example, test in one location and development in another location. So that if you have your teams cross-functionally in one location, then they can go ahead and have their daily scrums, and then you can use the Scrum of Scrums model to bring the items that come out of that together without having everybody have to participate across that. If you aren't able to do that, if, for example, you have to have certain team members in, say, a different continent and still be part of that team, then find a time where you can all meet together. And again, that's that sharing the pain kind of thing that works for everybody. See if they can call in from home. Most of the time I see for the daily scrum that a simple conference call is what people are using. But they'll oftentimes have whatever collaboration tool they're using open so that this, and they'll refer to the stories in the backlog by their name and number so that everybody on the call knows what it is. And it takes quite a bit of facilitation skill for a scrum master to do this well, to help facilitate meeting well. And everybody needs to understand what's going on. It helps even better if they've met each other before and they've got an idea of who it is that's speaking on the phone.
One thing that I worked with a team recently in is they weren't having very much success with their daily stand-up, and this was their attempt. They had three offices, all in the U.S., but all trying to pull from the same backlog and work together in a given iteration of work. And they had chosen one location would be the Information Radiator Center, and everyone had then dialed in every day to a webcam, and they would see the one team. But the problem they were having was in that they couldn't read the artifacts that were on the wall and on the board. Yes. So ultimately, we ended up going to an electronic scrum board. And,
there you go.
And we put that on big screens in everyone's office, and that seemed to work well.
Yes.
Do you have one or two that have been particularly effective for you?
Well, I use Project Wikis a lot, Team Wikis a lot, because you can access them from anywhere. And we'll put, I mean, if we need to, we'll put the burn downs and other information radiators up there, and we'll ask the scrum master or facilitator in each location to bring in their laptop and into the room and log in and turn that on and make sure everybody can see it as they're having the daily scrum. I've had that work actually fairly well.
You just said something. You said the scrum master at each location.
Yes, absolutely.
So say more about that.
Well, now, again, I'm assuming you have full cross-functional teams in each location, and if you do, you need to have each team needs to have a scrum master there. I have seen teams that were more split across two locations, and what we asked them to do is to have a scrum master and a quote-unquote assistant scrum master to help facilitate for that team, because each location needs to have someone that is helping to remove impediments, that is helping to coordinate the and communicate so that the others can focus on delivering software.
Okay. So that makes sense to me that you have someone responsible to the process in each location then.
Yes.
What sort of things would you like to see flesh out on the distributed agile stage that maybe you haven't seen a lot of activity around yet?
I would love to get more submissions for workshops on that where people can actually experience techniques that have been successful for other teams. One of the greatest things about this is that every year teams are experimenting and adapting and figuring out new ways to do things and coming to the Agile conference and sharing that information so that others can learn from it. And I'd love to see some more submissions around that. Whether it's a workshop, tutorial, or a presentation, I'm not so concerned, but I really would encourage people, if you've had a great idea, you're working with distributed teams, and you'd like to share that with other people that and help them, submit to our stage and come to the conference and share. That's wonderful.
And what's the process like for folks who might be considering doing that?
So the submissions are open until March 3rd, and we have a review team together of about 10 folks, and what we do is we go through all of the submissions, and we look for completeness of the submission. We look for the originality of the idea. We look for whether or not we have repeats in ideas, and we'll rank all of the submissions. And then based on how many slots we are assigned, we don't know yet exactly how many slots are assigned per stage, because some stages are quite a bit bigger than others. Then we'll be able to assign different presentations to the different rooms, and the submitters will be asked if they're still willing to present, and then be given a time and a date for their presentation. Now, my understanding is that people who are successful in submitting are getting entry into the conference. So I think the conference fees are like $1,500. Don't quote me on that one exactly, but it's around there. And they also get, I think there's a small per diem that they get paid to come and present, and they get to participate in the entire week-long conference as well, which is a great benefit. We'd love to have you come join us. Come share what you know and learn from others what they know and see what has worked and what has not worked, so that you can help your teams and your organization in their efforts to work with Agile on a distributed basis. And there's distributed Agile is one of, I think, 10 different stages. There's a lot of information. This is the premier conference for Agile for the in the world, actually. Everybody comes and gets together. It's a wonderful place to be.
And this year's conference is in Chicago in August.
It is. Conference date, I believe, is the week of August 23rd. And at the Region Hotel? I could be wrong about the hotel, but it's all on the website. If you go to agile2009.agilealliance.org, all of the information is there.
Well, Tamara, thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with? How about something like the top three things that a team can do to succeed if they're working remotely?
Well, we've talked about several of them. The top three things that I can see is leveraging technology, establishing that global communications and collaboration infrastructure, establishing a common lexicon of practices, a common framework for teams to work within, and having get people on planes, having people visit and meet face-to-face at key moments so that they understand who they're working with, can build that trust to develop and collaboration to go and to move forward.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, David, thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Elegant Codecast tries to bring you conversations with developers in the wild who are the best spokespeople for the software development craft. Give us your constructive or inflammatory feedback, as we are always interested in conversations with elegant coders. If you've got something to say and you'd like to say it on the Elegant Codecast, please drop us a line at cast@elegantcode.com. And remember to follow the drama of life as an elegant coder at elegantcode.com.